I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore. Okay, I'm into
fucking nightmares. Nathan Peterman is a fucking nightmare. Touchdown! Fuck this guy. He's on the 49ers.
Raiders! You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. He's Juan Soto. I'm RJ Clifford. Let's have some fun today. The final post-game show of the preseason. Three preseason games in, all done now. That means we're just 12 days away from the Raiders opening day, opening up Allegiant Stadium with fans. Baltimore Ravens coming to town.
Baltimore Ravens, what are you doing to yourself? You put your starting running back out there to get his knee blown out. Thanks.
I love it. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
That's great.
When he started last year is when they took off. Mm-hmm. God, man, that sucks, though, for them.
They have 12 days to figure it out for when they come to Allegiant Stadium.
Can Lamar Jackson hand the ball off to himself?
He does.
End up doing.
He just ends up like, does it count as a handoff if he just switches hands? Like he goes from right arm to left arm?
He just tucks the ball to his own stomach.
Right? He's fast enough where he can throw his own, like a swing pass to himself, you know, just get a lot of air under it. So 12 days, that's Mr. Kenneth Michael Stabler.
Whoa. No. That's 15 days today.
I'm sorry. 15 days is
Tom Flores. Tom
Flores. 15, yeah. I'm looking at the wrong thing. 15 days away.
Tom Flores, we're Tom Flores away. Hall of Famer, excuse me. Hall of Famer, Tom
current
Flores.
Current reigning Hall of Famer, Tom Flores, 2 weeks and 1 day away.
How dare I not put the Hoff on this before his name?
Number 15, also John Brown, a wide receiver who I thought was going to do really big things and be our new Nelson Aguilar. He played in the fourth quarter. He may not even make the squad.
It did not look good.
That's a shocker. I thought Brown was going to be like potentially our number one wide receiver because he had a much better career than Nelson Aguilar. Like Aguilar's career is basically the one that Derek Carr and John Gruden gifted him. So he became a $22 million wide receiver for New England. I thought, all right, John Brown's better than him. So he'll just fill those shoes and go. That is not, again, preseason, but that all signs point towards that not being the case at all.
Well, you have to take a look at the system that John Brown came from. It is not a West Coast system at all. That system was a fucking air it out gunning system. Even with what's his name? Before Josh Allen, who did they have? The Bills?
Oh,
God damn it.
They had everybody.
They had everybody. Patrick, who was the main guy?
They had everybody.
God, whatever. Whatever the fuck his name was, he played for the Chargers and he got hurt and then Herbert took over. He was more of a
Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, he wasn't a fucking West Coast guy either. He had a big arm and he could run and he extended the plays, and that's where Smoke made his money. Same with Josh Allen, guy who can run, extends plays, throws it deep, has a big arm. That's not the timing system that the Raiders run, and that was you got to get the right fit. You can't just get like he's like the anti Willie Snead. Willie Snead is the timing offense, came from the Saints, you know, timing offense guy. He knows how to like be where he's supposed to be.
Good hands, good route. Not going to kill you with speed, but he doesn't need to.
Yeah, because he's crisp and he knows how to set up the defenders. John Brown showed it right now. Just because you're fast doesn't mean you can get open in the NFL, because he wasn't getting open against backups. And, you know, freaking Stoner was. Stoner's been getting open. And John Brown better watch out, bro, because, I mean.
Stoner versus Smoke. It's there's a lot of joke. That's an NWA album name. It's ready to be made. I love the NFL preseason because it's – everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's about the team. Like, I like the NFL preseason for me. Like, it helps me, like, warm up heading into the NFL season. You know what I mean? Like, I'm practicing, like, being on Twitter – while also not missing plays, like watching the game at the same time. Like I'm practicing, like talking shit to my buddies that are Broncos, Chiefs, and Chargers fans. I'm like also timing, like, all right, how many Sierra Nevadas can I drink like per half and still be functional? Like preseason's just as important for the fans as it is the players, coaches, referees, and staff. You know what I mean?
Well,
crucial element. I gotta stretch first.
Yeah, we have to make sure that we perfect the art of paying attention without paying attention.
Yeah.
We talked about her last week.
Because it's 10 a.m. to 8:30 at night, right? Like as soon as the first kickoff is on the West Coast to when Sunday Night Football is done, you know, like you got to, that's on. A lot of time. You got to make,
you're taking notes,
right? You're paying attention, but still having fun. You know, like are friends there? Are friends not there? Is the wife and kid there? Are they not there? Are we at a bar? Are we home? Like these are all things that got to be worked out in the preseason. You know, I'm not going to be missing snaps because I wasn't prepared. I didn't take advantage. It's a shame there's only three preseason games. I feel like I need a fourth to be ready for this NFL season.
Look, I hated, and I still totally don't love watching Raiders games around a lot of people. I really don't. I like to pay attention. I don't like to answer questions. I like to, you know, keep mental notes, but also write, you know, jot stuff down in my notes app. But think of it this way. One of my biggest peeves during the Super Bowl is when the people who don't give two fucks about the game sit right in front of the fucking TV and take the primo spots. Like, look, you don't give a shit about the fucking game. Sit your ass in the back.
Yeah.
Wander around with the snacks. Don't take the primo seats away from the people who really want to watch the game.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the tamale assembly line. When you go to a Mexican house, you make tamales, right? You don't walk in and start becoming a spreader. It's not the way it fucking works. For people who don't know.
Unless we're talking about your butt cheeks.
Unless I'm spreading my butt cheeks. Right on my ball sack. Right.
Yeah. As a white guy who married into a Mexican family, let me tell you, I was in the backyard shucking corn husks.
That's the first job.
I got to do the bitch work, right? I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I don't want to. And I like tamales more than any human being on planet Earth. Like, I don't want to be held responsible for screwing up the tamale, you know?
Look, that's crucial. If you don't separate and soak the husks long enough in hot enough water, they're going to be super stiff. They're not going to cook right. It's just not going to do well. So look, that's the first step. The first step is taking care of the husks. Normally what happens is little kids are like sitting on top of these hot ass fucking pots with like towels on them so you don't burn your ass. And, oh, I need more husks. And the kid gets the bowl and they, you know, wring out the husks from the water and put them in there and run them to the adults. So there's that. Then there's the spreaders. You spread the masa.
Yep.
And then there's kind of a quality control, like foreman, usually the old grandma or tia or whoever, walking around to make sure that it's even, it's not too high on the husk. You know, you got enough on there.
Yeah, she stays away from the table because she's chain smoking cigarettes. And that's like her excuse to not actually do work. But you can't say no to her. So she just like points.
My grandma had her cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Cup of coffee.
Quote, like, unquote.
Yeah. She wasn't even trying the last
that's
couple
basically
years.
That's basically our preseason, right? Yeah. It's just like getting things dialed in.
In order, I feel like, what do you need to do?
Yeah, I feel like it's underreported how much the preseason is important to fans when you're dealing with football season coming up. So I'm glad
it gives you the ability to shoot for the stars, you know, like you're okay. This looks good. That looks good. This doesn't look great, but it's not. And
there's an excuse. Anyway. There's an excuse built into every game. Like we were jerking each other off because we were 2-0 in the preseason, like looking good against the Rams and the joint practices. Mm. And then Raiders get their shit pushed in against the 49ers. Like, well, it's preseason, doesn't count. You know, it was our threes versus their ones. You know, like there's a built-in excuse no matter what happens.
Well,
you know?
I was gonna say this. We really weren't going to take a lot because, I mean, most of the starters didn't even make the trip up.
Only not even starters. 52 of 80 players on the roster even went.
Yeah.
That's not even including suited up. Just actually went there. And then you had a dozen or two dozen or so not suited up, just wearing jerseys.
Something tells me that 52 is the minimum number of people you had to bring. Mm-hmm. It's a weird number. I don't know why, but it just something tells me that. What I was going to say was, fucking forgot, RJ. God damn it.
It's all those shots to the head. Well, yeah. So we went to the Bay Area, back to the Bay.
Oh, I remember now.
Oh, okay.
That this
after you.
yeah, sorry. This
if you week, had a stroke, you would tell me, right, Soto? Like, I wouldn't have to, like, I'd be able to prepare for how to do this show with, like, a stroke Soto and not just a
stupid,
normally dumb Soto.
Jelly head Soto. I have taken a lot of shots to the head. So, this game going in, it was like, I wasn't even really excited to watch it because I knew that hearing that we're not going to take even any starters really up and that San Francisco was going to play starters the majority of the first quarter, it's like, okay, you can't really tell anything from this. You were going to here and there, but the first two games we were able to get excited about certain things because it was a couple of starters versus a couple of starters and then twos versus twos. So it was more of an equal footing, but
and it's also with a brand new defensive coordinator. It's like, okay, what's like the base of the defense look like? Like what's the DNA and the character of the defense? Like there's, again, it's kind of thin. It's a stretch, but remember it's preseason game one where it's like any football like substance we're going to drool over. So the Raiders fall to the 49ers 34-10. Like you mentioned, it was basically all of the Niners starters for the entire first quarter versus second or third string guys on the Raiders. Gerald McCoy, Divine Diablo made their debuts. John Brown, Carl Joseph also played. Damon Arnett.
Arnett played a lot.
Robertson played a lot. Nathan Peterman essentially played every single snap.
Nathan Peterman.
For all three preseason games. Where do you want to start? Because.
Okay, let's start with the positives.
Okay. The positive is fucking no one showed up to the Niner game, so there was no like shootings or fights.
That's true.
You know what I mean? That's a
positive. There was very few Raider fans sprinkled across the.
Yeah.
Yeah. They tried to That's keep a positive. No, Gerald McCoy, man, he was in the backfield every single snap. Mm-hmm. He was quick. He was off the ball. He was disruptive. And, you know, as much as Rory wants to talk shit, I said it when we signed him, he didn't have an injury history prior to his injury last year. He wasn't like he was always out. He was always missing games. No, he got injured 1 year. It fucking happens. You know, he had a 10-year, 11-year career and he got injured. Okay, it fucking happens. And I said, if he's anything close to what he was his last year with the Panthers, he's going to be our best D tackle. He's going to be our best interior defensive lineman and fighting for maybe our best defensive lineman overall. And he looked every bit of it.
He was the best defensive lineman on the field today.
He was the best defensive player that we had. Yeah, he looked really good. And I'm very, very excited about that.
So speaking of injuries, no Marcus Mariota at all this preseason because he's so injury prone. So our quarterback room, you're kind of like, what is it like right now? Because Nathan Peterman, I would say he went from, and this is credit to John Gruden, he went from like the biggest joke of a quarterback, like the punchline of every joke, to not like if Derek Carr gets injured, we're screwed, but he's not a joke anymore, right? He's like, you know, it'd be a viable backup somewhere.
I agree.
But how injury prone is Marcus Mariota where you're not even going to let your second string quarterback play a preseason game? Not one snap. You're like, oh my God, we have to put this kid in a glass case because we can't let him get hurt. But he's the backup quarterback. Tom Brady has played every single preseason game. And Marcus Mariota is just too valuable or too built of Fabergé egg to even put a helmet on and like hand it off to somebody.
He was hurt last year too in the preseason. And that stunted his progress throughout the year. Two things that your backup quarterback needs to be. Mm-hmm. They need to be steady and they need to be tough because there is nobody behind them. Yeah. If the backup is playing for a reason, and that's because either the starting quarterback is just blew the back out and it fucking sucked ass, or he's hurt. So you need to be able to steady, and you don't have to be flashy, just steady. Run the offense, be steady, don't turn the ball over, and you also need to be tough because behind you, we're going to have a fucking Broncos situation going on, and we're playing a fucking ex-quarterback that's a receiver now.
I've been saying it since the last Chargers game last season, second last game of last season, when Mariota played still in a losing effort, but played pretty well. Decent, right? Like, not bad.
I mean, for having backup snaps, what do you get, like five a practice maybe? Like, he did play pretty well.
And he did all right. I was like, okay, time to trade Mariota. Because a backup quarterback that is as injury prone as him, that means you have to have a third string quarterback all the time. So now we're forcing the Raiders to always have three quarterbacks.
We're right here, RJ. You get rid of them.
When one of the two is going to have some trade value and can fill in a hole somewhere else, right? And it's also keeping John Gruden from like, hey, draft a quarterback in like the fifth round and develop them, or pick up another quarterback that's really young that maybe you think you can develop or like turn into something, right? Like,
that was Peterman.
It was supposed to be Peterman, but it's never going to be Peterman. Like, he's still it's taken him getting $1 million every single season to just basically play the preseason and like not be a joke anymore, but not someone where like I trust him to take over if Carr gets hurt. Like, he's not that good.
Well, the way Gruden works is he's not going to develop. He doesn't want to develop a quarterback to be a superstar because he doesn't want to do that. He wants a guy to come in. He doesn't want to.
And why give Nathan Peterman $1 million a year? Like, instead,
because he's a good backup. You see, you need to have a backup. You need to have a backup quarterback. You know, you're not giving him. What are you giving him exactly? You're giving him $1 million a year. That's fucking shit water in the NFL. That's nothing.
Yeah.
Especially for a quarterback. He does it. If I don't think he will, and I don't think he should replace Derek Carr. Don't have a heart attack. I don't think he should, and I don't think he will replace Derek Carr. But if he does, it's going to be with an established veteran leader quarterback. It's not going to be with a fucking young guy coming up or this and that. It's not going to be with that. He doesn't have the patience. He doesn't have the time. He doesn't have the want to get a young quarterback, no matter how good they are, to teach him his system.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know what? I'm going to stay with her for the kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, she knows how I like my eggs in the morning.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She knows how to do a little pepper grinder action at night. It's like, she's good. I'm good with it. I can live with it.
She knows how to do the pepper grinder at breakfast. She knows how to do the pepper grinder at dinner. She knows how to do the pepper grinder after dinner.
After dessert.
Yep.
Speaking of pepper grinder, I took homegirl for her birthday to this little seafood restaurant in
Fancy. Seal Mr. Beach. Mr. Moneybags. That's been nice.
Nice. Yeah. We had crab legs. And this dude is like, hey, like, you know, do you want some fresh cracked black pepper on your salad? Mm-hmm. Well, sure. This guy did two turns and my salad was like Cajun style. It was completely black on top. I'm like, I'm gonna check that grinder in there, dude. That thing's a little loose.
That is a quality grinder. Maybe he just has a really good grip.
Maybe
big old, big old hands, like, or something. Nathan Peterman hands.
That kung fu grip.
So what do you make of John Gruden not playing anybody in the preseason? Like, he played in the very first preseason game. He played five starters total on both sides of the ball for maybe a quarter. Mm-hmm. That's it. Brand new defensive coordinator, bunch of new players on defense, bunch of new wide receivers coming in. Not a brand new offensive line, but this unit together is a new cohesive unit together. Still, he's like, nope, not risking injuries, not going to do it. Part of me gets it, like with Nicholas Morrow going down and some other guys going down, and obviously with Dobbins going down and the Ravens, like that we're playing on Monday. But at some point, like, they're football players and you have to play football.
So, Is this a change in MO for Gruden? Gruden's an old school guy. He's practice hard. How many padded practices do I get? You know, type of thing.
Old school.
This is a departure from how he normally operates. So you can do it. The one thing, the argument against this is, like you said, is the cohesiveness, the gelling of the units, right? Yeah. So you talk about, like, the quarterback wide receiver against live competition, right? Against really good live competition. All right. Then you have, you know, the lines against one another. Like, how does the offensive line gel? How does the defensive line gel? How does the defensive line gel with the linebackers? Because they play closely together and like run defense. How does the linebackers and the secondary play together in pass defense? You know, how those units, how do they work together?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have five inter-squad practices, like five inter-team, like team versus team practices.
Joint practices.
Joint. I like joint. I love joints.
I always thought you were a doobie guy. Maybe I was wrong. I also misunderstood you.
Yeah, you know, joints are cool. I've been hitting the vapes lately.
The joint practices are only better because the coaches decide that they're going to be. Like, the coaches could decide to play their starters. Like, the Niners play their starters. It could have been ones versus ones today, right? Like, John Gruden could have known exactly what his ones looked like against the 49ers ones if he wanted to, but he didn't want to, right?
When you have an ego, it's like, I know what I have. I know what I'm looking for.
Is it an ego thing?
I think it's
just purely injury prevention. That's my gut. And that's what Todd Downing said when he was interviewed about it. Like,
I agree. You know,
he's just echoing what John Gruden's saying anyway. So like,
but what I'm saying is that could be like the foundation of why he's doing it. But he could say, you know what? I don't want to get my guys hurt. I know what I'm looking for with my guys. I know what a good football is. I don't need to see them against other people's number ones. And because even with teams like today, you're telling me with the injury fucking season the 49ers had last year that they're going to want to have their fucking starters injured in the preseason game, and they still tried out a bunch of fucking
starters.
They
still had all their ones on offense and
all be all. That's not all the end all be all of why he didn't play starters. I think it could be a little bit of, hey, we know who we have, we know who the guys are, and I know what good football looks like. I need to see my guys run my stuff. And I think, honestly, with the good depth that we have on our team, I think our starters may be a little bit better than the second string than we think.
A couple other little notes from the game. I'm the only one that I feel like it's a necessity to keep doing it on this show, but I'm glad I do. Carlson hit a 51-yarder clean today. Pretty
nice. Yeah.
Like,
picked on Broadway.
We got a beautiful kicking game going. You know what I mean? I know it's the kicking game, right? It's just three players on the 53-man roster, but like, I gotta make like every couple shows, like, let's just be grateful that we got that covered. You know what I mean? Carlson gonna do what Carlson's gonna do. Kicking game, punting game, holding game, long snapping game.
Good.
We're good, baby.
Solid.
We're good, which is better than solid. Better than solid.
No, we're very good there.
We're very good there. Rich Gannon on the call. It was good to hear him again because ever since, you know, last season, like, CBS dumped him, he's not going to be calling games anymore. Good to hear Rich Gannon on there. Like, I'm
Rich
38.
Gannon, come on the show, Rich Gannon.
I'm 38 years old, right? So, like, the Raiders won the Super Bowl when I wasn't even 1 year old, right? So, it's like great, great Raiders quarterbacks. Like, I watch them on NFL films and YouTube, except for Rich Gannon. Like, that was like teenage RJ, you know, prime Raider fan. Like, that was the shit, right? That was my guy. So, like, there's probably no Raider that hits me in the heart more than Charles Woodson and then number two, Rich Gannon. Like, it was good. It was good to hear him again. Sadly, it hurts me to say it. I do get why. He kind of got canned because he's got like the personality of like a stick in the mud,
a wet sock.
Yeah. But he knows his freaking football, dude.
He does.
He sees everything on that field. He understands every position, you know, like when he was calling like Peterman, like overthrew somebody and he like broke down exactly why. He's like, he got pressure here. So he got moved here. His feet weren't in position here. He's got to work on this drill to make sure that like, he basically went through the seven things that happened in that play in 12 seconds, perfectly dry, but beautifully.
Well, the thing is too, is you could only be as good as your partner too. Like if you're in the booth and like, let's not say it. We've already said it. It's been said before about the Bears play by play, but if you got somebody who just really isn't setting you up well, and maybe stepping on some of your shit, it's going to be difficult for you to kind of have that little back and forth. But yeah, you know, he knows his football, man. And if he can, hang out at more strip clubs, become a little bit more animated, I think he'll do a good job.
There's nothing a girl named Destiny covered in glitter can't like draw out of him. You know what I mean? He's something like that.
He said Destiny, and my name's Destiny too.
We have the best tight end room in football.
God damn.
So obviously, Darren Waller, like, you know, don't need to say anything that hasn't already been said. Foster Moreau would start on over half the NFL teams in football. Derek Carrier is the best blocker of the crew.
With and then good hands.
With good, like, he's not a bad receiver. He's not bad there. He's just a great, good, the best blocker of our tight ends and a superstar in special teams. And then Nick Bowers, Penn State guy, he had that great touchdown. Third quarter, yeah. I think.
Yeah, third
quarter. Ran a good route, caught the ball, beat a tackle, strolled into the end zone.
Ran right through that tackle.
He's probably not making this team.
No.
He's probably not making the 53. And he looked good today. Like that.
If we can stash him on that. Stash him on practice squad in case
someone gets hurt.
But like, the thing is, man, he might not last long.
I think someone's going to swoop him up.
Someone might swoop him up. There's teams out there who are looking for a reliable pass catching tight end, and he put a lot of good tape on. I mean,
we're not going to keep four tight ends. That's just not with three quarterbacks and so many wide receivers to figure out. Like tight ends is, and a fullback. Like that's too much.
So that brings me to you brought up Darren Waller. There's going to be a time where you can't keep Foster Moreau off the field. You can't just put him on two tight end set formations anymore. He's going to have to be your TE1 in certain formations. And let's not start getting crazy, because that's when you would move Waller over to the X position. Mm-hmm. Edwards, from all accounts, was a fucking gangbuster, fucking just killing it in camp like he did last year. We'll see if it translates on Sundays. But what you do know for sure is nobody can cover Darren Waller one-on-one in the NFL. Mm. It just can't. It doesn't happen. So he can play the X receiver, and he can play X, and you can have Foster at the TE1 because he's that damn good. Mm.
Yeah, I don't care about labels. I don't care. Well,
salary-wise, you should.
That's what I'm saying, is label Darren Waller tight end to try to keep that salary down. You know, like, I love you, Darren Waller, but I like your salary down so we can get other people to make the Raiders win more.
Kelsey's like, what, a top five NFL player, and his cap hits like 7.5 as a tight end.
Yeah.
And he lines up wide a lot as well. And, you know, as long as Waller's chill being designated a tight end, all right.
Well, it's a couple things. It's like, who cares what the labels are? Say he's tight end one and put him wherever the hell you want. Put him at X, put him at Y, put him at Z, put him in the backfield. I don't care. Put him at center. Like, I don't care. Right.
Get him open, get him the ball,
however you want. Right. Like, doesn't matter to me. You can line up whoever you want, even if he's listed as tight end. And then two, like, and when I was in high school, we switched from a 4-4 defense to a 3-4 my senior year. I was like, hey coach, why are we switching? He's like, cause we have a ton of great linebackers and only so many good defensive linemen. Like, why would we force ourselves to take like a DB or linebacker off the field who's good and put in a defensive lineman just to fit a number? It's like, if Foster Moreau is better than our second or third string running back or our third or fourth wide receiver, why are we taking him out just because there's a TE next to his name? Like, we should have our best players on. Like, if our four best offensive players were tight ends, fucking put in four tight ends and line up however, you know what I mean? Line up however you want, right? Like, if our four best offensive players are running backs, put in four running backs, line one up as an X, like whatever, right? Have your best players on the field. Change the formations, not based on their designation, but based on talent, right? Yeah. So like, the more Foster Moreau's on the field, the better. It's like, oh man, the Raiders are in two tight end sets too much. Cares.
They got their best players out there.
You got your best players on the field. That's what you want. And that's really what John Gruden's really, really good at. Really, really good. Like, he has his system, but he's like, okay, I got a Waller who's insane. We're going to build around him. right? Like, remember when Antonio Brown completely ruined that season because John Gruden built his entire playbook around Antonio Brown. Like, oh, I got this guy. This is what our playbook should be built around. He was gone. That's when we learned how good Foster Moreau was, because he's like, okay, that whole part of the playbook's gone. We're going to do jumbo sets. We're going to do two tight end sets and two running back. We're going to do 22s, like, because that's who we have left on this playbook. And we learned Foster Moreau was legit. Darren Waller, breakout season. Like, that's what Gruden's good at. So I'm with you. Like, have Darren Waller be tight end one. Have Foster Moreau be tight end three. Have Derek Carr be tight end three. Put them all on the field and say you're running a 1-3. Like, who cares? Line up however you want.
Yeah, and the main thing is you can do that when you have a tight end like Waller, who isn't just a top 1-2 tight end in NFL. He's a top 15 receiver overall, and he can play receiver. And you can't say that about some of those top tight ends. They're good against safe, strong safeties and maybe slot guys who get, you know, he shift into, or his linebackers, but no, he's good against top corners as well. So you could put him out there and, you know, he's going to be a matchup nightmare for anybody.
So that's it for preseason.
What did we learn, man? What did we really learn about these guys? It's hard because we really didn't see anybody.
My big takeaways are Mariota is either Gruden is like treats him with like kid gloves, or he's just so broken where you won't even put your backup quarterback in the preseason game. John Brown, maybe not even making the squad, shocked me. That's a shocker for sure. Our defensive line, like the 9,000 guys we signed, we're going to get a decent amount in there.
Well,
we're
going to get the right guys. We needed 9,001.
Yeah.
Because McCoy is definitely the best D tackle interior defensive lineman we have.
My huge questions that I had going into the preseason that did not get answered. I still don't know what like the character and soul of our defense is. I just don't have an idea of what that is. Like, it sounds very not X's and O's and very just hyperbole, but it is true. Like, defenses have characters. It's like, all right, this defense is savvy. This defense is fast. This defense punches you in the face. This defense is bend, not break. Like, I don't know at all what we're going to get out of Gus Bradley in this new defense. Like, I feel like individual players are finding themselves in the defense. You're like, okay, yeah, these guys are just being athletes and they're being okay. But I still don't get like what the core of the defense is exactly, which I thought we would. We still don't know how this offensive line gels at all, because only
that's a big concern of mine. Cause goddamn, if we have a couple of injuries like we had last year, mm-hmm. we're in deep trouble, because those backups are ass.
Yeah.
They're not good, man. And they were just Cotton. God bless you, man. You might be a very good, great, great guy, stand up human being, but you were beat like a rented mule today. And it was, it's not the first game either.
And I still don't know which wide receiver is going to break out now. Still don't know. Like, has Ruggs figured it out? Has Edwards figured it out? Are they going to have to lean on Renfrow more? Will Sneed going to have a major role? No clue.
No clue whatsoever. Whatsoever.
We have more questions unanswered from the preseason than answered, I think. And I wasn't even expecting that many answers in the preseason.
You know, it's not a bad thing. And here's the if, right? Here's the big if. If Gruden is right and he knows what he's looking for and he knows what he wants and his eyes gulp are correct, mm-hmm. and what he's seeing in practice and in the joint practices will translate on Sundays, then we should be fine. We should be in really good shape. We should be very competitive throughout the season.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, we're in deep shit, man. And I want to think that a head coach who's been scrutinized as hard as Gruden's been scrutinized, mm-hmm. Especially this last offseason, he's getting a lot hotter. I think that he wouldn't pull a Kobe and just, you know, do what the fuck he wants, regardless of what anyone says, because he has that much of a strong belief in himself. that, well, fuck with everybody else. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about. I know what I'm doing, and just kind of willing it to happen even when it doesn't.
Yeah.
So we'll see, man. I am very, as negative Nancy as people like to seem that I am, and I'm really not.
I don't know where they got that from. It's so crazy. No. Here's
the issue.
It's mind boggling to me that people think you're a negative. I don't understand where that's coming from at all. It's crazy.
RJ, you don't help.
You are sunshine rainbows all the time.
Fucking guy.
Mr. Happy all the time. Nothing good to say except like only good things to say about Derek Carr. I think people are just jealous.
I said nothing but good things about Derek Carr today.
You are. That they're trying to project their negativity on you.
That might be it.
That's the only thing that makes sense because you're Captain Sunshine and Rainbows.
No, the issue is number one, you don't help matters, but you're not the foundation of this. You're just kind of like the cherry on top.
Okay.
The issue is we feel as Raider fans that if somebody isn't all in 100%, Raiders are going to win the Super Bowl every single year type of rah, rah, rah cheerleader. Mm-hmm. That you're against us, that you're against the Raiders, you hate the Raiders, or whatever. That's just not the case. I'm trying to be objective with what I say. Do I want the Raiders to win? Of course I do. I'm wearing a fucking Raider hat. I'm host a Raider podcast. Of course I want the Raiders to win. Am I optimistic about the season? Yes, I am extremely optimistic about our season. No, that's not true. I didn't say that. I think that Derek Carr, if he has another season like he had last year with the improved defense, I think we are a lock to make the playoffs. A lock. If he has the same year and he needs to have that year, he can't regress at all. You know, when you have your career year and you're still 10th in the league, you're not going to win games by yourself. You need to have a lot more help.
You're not going to overcome the worst defense in Raiders history.
Yeah, you can't.
Which is what we had last season.
You can't. You have to be a little bit more dynamic as a player to be able to do something like that, and not many people can. Mm. What, Mahomes, Kurt Warner, that's pretty much it, you know, who've been able to do that, who've been that dynamic to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So the main thing right now is, yes, I think that they could do well. Yes, I'm optimistic. I am a little bit concerned that it is just for me because I haven't seen it with my own eyes. I'm putting a lot of trust in John Gruden, which has he earned it? Who knows, right? I don't think he has to me with his tenure before he left in Tampa and his first few years here. I don't think he's earned the benefit of the doubt with his draft history and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But he has made some anti-Gruden moves recently. From what I'm reading, he's a little bit more involved in other aspects of the team, not just the offense. Mm-hmm. He drafted a very defense-heavy draft, and it seems to be – well, we're not in the room, but it seems to be very influenced by a Gus Bradley-esque type of scheme. A lot of tweener guys, a lot of guys that can move. And also the practices we just talked about and the preseason games, the Raiders didn't max out on their padded practices. They didn't have all the padded practices they were supposed to have, or they were allotted. They didn't have them all. And they didn't play any starters to name in the preseason. So those are all very anti-Gruden things. So if he's changing and evolving, maybe because he has a couple of guys on his coaching staff who have been head coaches previously as well, who are maybe, you know, giving him a little bit more insight and kind of explain things a certain way, the way a head coach wants to hear things. Who knows? But what I really want, what I envisioned, I had a dream, RJ. I had a dream.
Martin Luther King III?
Yes. I had a dream that our defense was like a tornado-style defense. Just everything revolving around the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Guys moving from one position to the other, just kind of like organized chaos, fast.
Swarming defense.
Swarming, just like a big tornado. In the eye of the tornado is the ball, and everyone's just swirling around the ball. Everyone's after the ball. People are moving from one position to the other position, making plays. And hopefully I'm right, man. Hopefully that this knocks to the head I've had really makes a big difference. And it could see the future.
So I want to bet you this Tyron Woodley Jake Paul fight tonight, but I just know you'll welch on the bet. So it's like, what's the point?
I did my push-ups.
Yeah, after I begged you for weeks,
that's the best way. Look, a pimp doesn't get paid. A pimp doesn't get paid laying pipe on a bitch the very first night. Got to get the scratch first. Got to play the long game. And then that's when a pimp gets paid. So you play the long game. And you finally, hey!
And we're getting breaking into. All right, this is time. It's time to go.
Get out of here. And
so next show we'll do no preseason, all leading up to real football.
Let's do it.
Until that day, knock on wood if you're with me.